Middays with Mannix and Mannix.
I was going to listen to that, but then I just carried on living my life.
With Jeff Mannix.
What kind of bear is best? Black bear.
And Taylor Mannix.
I'm a Tony Romo fan and he retired, so now I bleed green. Go Birds!
Call 207-775-2217 or 1-866-811-9505.
Phone is ringing. Oh my God.
Every single thing that every fan does at home or at the stadium makes a direct impact in the game.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
Middays with Mannix and Mannix begins now. Here's Jeff and Taylor.
The weather outside is weather.
It's called Two Brothers. Two Brothers. It's just called Two Brothers.
You're Larry Bird.
Good afternoon. Welcome into our final hour on this Thursday edition of Middays with Mannix and Mannix. Jeff and Taylor on the microphones. The Boston Red Sox are opening up a new series tonight in Baltimore against the Orioles, a 7:15 first pitch, 6:15 pregame right here on 96.3 WJJB, the big jab. And time for us to talk some Boston Red Sox baseball right now with one of our Red Sox insiders. He covers the team for the Boston Globe. We welcome Tim Healy back to the show. Tim, thanks for taking some time with us. How are things here as we enter the final month of the season?
I'm doing well. The Red Sox are having a little bit of a hiccup right now, but overall still just fine. So it's a little bit of the home stretch. Big series in Baltimore this weekend. They need to at least split it and stop the bleeding. And then there will be just 3 weeks to go.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast we get here, right? It feels like just yesterday this team was on pace to be one of the worst records in club history, and now here we are talking about second wild cards and all sorts of things. I do want to start right off the rip by asking you a little bit about the news potentially on Tanner Houck. Obviously, we're up here in Portland, Maine, Tim, so you can imagine why this is of interest to us. What kind of updates can you give us on him, and is there a possibility we could see Tanner Houck on a rehab start right up here in our neck of the woods in Portland, Maine with the Portland Sea Dogs next week?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely happening next week. Well, I shouldn't say definitely. He has to remain healthy. You never know what might pop up. But that's the plan. Tanner Houck with the Sea Dogs next week to begin a rehab assignment a little over a year after his Tommy John surgery. I don't know what day that's going to be. I believe he's pitching tomorrow in sort of like a scrimmage-type setting in Fort Myers. So count out from there. That's supposed to be a couple of innings. Maybe my educated guess would be Thursday with Portland, but I don't know for sure what day, other than it'll be next week sometime.
Well, that's certainly interesting. With the Sea Dogs have had a number of rehabbers here lately, including Roman Anthony recently. So fun to get another one, I suppose here. But that'll be interesting. And I guess we can kind of keep on this Tanner Houck train here for a second anyway, because obviously the team looks like they're maybe trying to get him healthy enough so that he can be a factor in the postseason in some way. If he's able to be successful with that, what do you see Tanner Houck's role down the stretch in any sort of way here for this baseball team, if at all?
I can imagine him, well, he's not going to have time to fully stretch out to carry a starting pitcher's workload, but he's up to two innings or so already. If he can stretch out to, say, three innings, then he's got the potential to be a very interesting short reliever or some sort of hybrid role, long reliever, but not in a mail-it-in type situation, right? In theory, you want to bring Tanner Houck back because you think he can be good and you think he can help you either down the stretch and or in the playoffs themselves. So it's a little bit of a wild card. They're sort of taking it as it comes still. But the fact that Tanner Houck even has himself in this position is honestly kind of amazing. The Red Sox were not counting on this. They were... You know, they said all along, like, oh, yeah, maybe at the very end of 2026, but probably 2027. And Tanner Houck all along said, I understand that. I still want to come back in September. So here he is on not quite the brink of his goal, but on track to reach it. So I give him a lot of credit.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's a great story if he can even get back. And to see him in Portland, where it kind of all started, I think that's great, too. Fans are going to really embrace him, as they always do here in the city up here. I got to ask, too, you tweeted about it yesterday. Big step for Garrett Crochet was your tweet that on Friday he's going to be throwing his first bullpen session per Chad Tracy. Tell us a little bit about that. And again, what kind of role you maybe see Crochet? And I know we talk a lot about him being kind of out of the bullpen. Is that where you see him, too, if he eventually can get healthy and back contributing with the Boston Red Sox?
Yes. If Crochet comes back this year, which is not a guarantee, it is going to have to be as a reliever, one, maybe two innings at a time. Tomorrow, Friday, in Boston is going to be his first full-fledged bullpen session of this new ramp-up, this new bid to return by the end of the season. And of late, the progress has been slow but steady for Garrett Crochet, which is a big improvement over those June, July, a lot of August periods, because for a while there, he was just kind of in a holding pattern, strengthening his shoulder. So the fact that he also is trending in the right direction is good news for the Red Sox, which is, you know, as I said, not a guarantee that he comes back, but he at least has a chance. He is definitely farther behind than relative to Tanner Houck.
Let me, of course, it was just a real quick homestand here for the Red Sox this week against Seattle, but what did you make of that series? They walked it off there on Monday night. That's nice. Trevor Story did the job. We're all happy about that, but then it kind of did go sideways the rest of the series here. What do you make of where the Red Sox are at coming out of this Seattle series?
My biggest takeaway was some red flags on the pitching side. The Red Sox pitching has been basically nailed all year. Even when they were a bad team, they had good pitching largely. During the turnaround, the pitching just went to another level, and that was key to the whole thing. In recent days, Sandoval was bad yesterday. Bayo was bad for a second outing in a row yesterday, and incredibly, he also has played a key role, as we all know, in this summer surge of the Red Sox. Before that, Sonny Gray got his start skipped because he needed a few days for quote-unquote general body fatigue, so you kind of wonder what the next few weeks are going to look like for him. The day before that, Peyton Tolley seemed to hit a wall in the fifth inning of his start Monday, and you can't help but wonder if he's hitting a wall more generally on his season when he's already pitched way more than he's ever pitched before. And then over the weekend, Ranger Suarez was not very good, and he's been honestly not good at all in the second half. So it's still a good pitching staff, but the hiccups or the past 5 days or so have definitely raised questions about what the next bunch of weeks are going to look like. Never mind, you know, come playoff time, how guys are going to be, what kind of shape guys are going to be in. So yes, it's a bad series loss to the Mariners. They entered as the lowest scoring team in baseball and then scored, I believe, 25 runs in 28 innings in the series. So a weird one for the Red Sox for sure. Got to monitor it moving forward.
Yeah, and of course, it's interesting. Ian Brown of MLB.com would agree with you. He pointed out the rotation has a 10.13 ERA in the last four games, with relievers having a 10.50 ERA as well. So I thought you're right. I mean, you're right on it, Tim, to back your point up here. I mean, just not good enough from that pitching staff. Do you think there are any answers coming? And I mean, can Suarez work his way out of this? Because it feels like if the Sox do get into the wild card round, I mean, you know, Tolley and Gray are going to help you in some way, but Suarez, I feel like that was one of the reasons he was considered a big addition, was for what he could provide you in the postseason based on his resume there.
Yeah, I can't really put my thumb on Ranger Suarez right now. Never mind, come playoff time. What's interesting is his own personal recent history from 2023 to 2025, so the prior three seasons before joining the Red Sox, he was excellent in the first half of the season and then bad in the second half of the season. And that was true across those 3 years. But in the playoffs, as everybody probably remembers from the discussion in January when the Red Sox brought in Ranger Suarez, he is amazing in the playoffs. So he has a way of shaking off bad second half to still get it done in October. And if that holds true this year, the Red Sox will be pleased. It's just sort of an enigma, I guess. I don't know what's behind that for him. I don't know how he manages to flip that switch. But if he doesn't flip the switch for whatever reason, and there's still 3.5 weeks to go into the playoffs, there's a lot can change. If he doesn't flip the switch, then the Red Sox are going to be in a bad spot.
Again, we're speaking with Tim Healy from the Boston Globe, talking Boston Red Sox with him. And Taylor and I sent this text to my brother kind of tongue-in-cheek a little bit, but at the same time, I'm going to ask it this way because I'm not sure there really is a clear-cut Red Sox MVP in 2026. Yeah. So I'm going to ask you the question I kind of threw out there. Is Mickey Gasper the Red Sox 2026 MVP?
I mean, he's got as good a case as anybody, pretty much, at least in the last few weeks. What he's done has just been honestly absurd and bizarre and inexplicable and so impressive. And I can't explain it. And I don't think the Red Sox can either. He's just having the best 3 or 4 weeks of his life.
Yeah, the MLB interview was quite funny.
Yeah, just for it was. And the fact that Mickey Gasper was sought out by MLB Network to begin with for an interview live is just ridiculous, you know?
Oh,
like
yeah,
big credit to Mickey Gasper that he's put himself in a position where that's even the thing that exists.
Yeah, and it was funny listening to them on the MLB broadcast too, because some of them you could tell they were like acting like he was a rookie because they asked him hey, when was your kind of welcome to the MLB moment? He's like, 2024 with Corey Seager, and I'm like, oh my god, right. That's so funny. Like 2 years ago, he had his moment, but yeah, just what a humble guy, and he has been a really fun story. Another story that it has been really nice here. I know they haven't found the win since they've been back, but seeing Trevor Story and Roman jump right into this thing and kind of really get up and go without the training wheels has been good. What has been your impression of them since coming back to the live? Because I'm sure you saw some of the dialogue on the X machine, Tim, with people saying, well, Trevor Story's not going to make us better. We need to keep the kids who are up here. But they've definitely contributed big since they've been up. Obviously, the walk-off Monday, no bigger contribution from Trevor Story.
Yeah, big time. That was a pretty poetic and appropriate return to Fenway for those two guys on Monday, both of them playing big roles, and Story obviously the biggest role. Roman has been, through four games, he looks like a monster again. He hits everything hard. He's batting .500. Of his nine hits, four have gone for extra bases. He's not striking out. He looks like WBC Roman Anthony or last summer before pulling his oblique Roman Anthony. So it's a good reminder that he remains the player that the Red Sox thought they had when they called him up last year, the best prospect in baseball. He remains the player that they gave an 8-year contract to 2 months into his major league career. And yes, he's had a couple of injuries in the last 12 months, and those have been unfortunate for him. This year, it really dragged on longer than anybody expected, but he's still a building block of the Red Sox. Trevor Story had a much uglier rehab assignment, but has looked solid in the last few days. Defensively, I wonder a little bit. He's had some weird throws. Mickey Gasper, shout out to Mickey Gasper again, has really bailed him out with several really nice picks on low throws. So I don't know what that's about for Trevor Story, but at the plate, he's getting it done, and he's providing plenty of production for a guy who has been slotted into the number 8 spot in the lineup.
And, of course, the Red Sox are going to begin a big series in Baltimore tonight against the Orioles. And we know one of the big storylines, likely especially in Baltimore, is going to be the return of Adley Rutschman to the place that drafted him. And he played until literally a month ago. We know he's a little bit banged up still with the hyperextended elbow, hasn't played the last few games, but we knew he wanted to play in Baltimore. I'm going to ask that because Taylor and I have been wondering why he's just not been put on the injured list at this point. Are the Red Sox just trying to keep him active right now so he can play in Baltimore and try and maybe give him a little bit of a return there this year as opposed to maybe playing it a little bit safer with him right now?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think that's a big part of it. It seems like they think they can get away with just 3 or 4 days off, and it's a 3 or 4 day injury as opposed to a 10-day injury. And with Mickey Gasper on the roster and you have a third catcher and you're not totally in a tight spot, you can get away with that, play shorthanded for a few days. That said, I have wondered about, you know, sort of thematically along the lines of what you were saying, that if they did put him on the IL, it would be already his second IL stint with the Red Sox and his fourth IL stint of the season, which is just a lot for a guy who's, you know, been through the ringer physically the past few years and has not hit much the past few years. I suspect that Adley Rutschman very much wants to stay off the IL. So that's probably a part of it. So, yeah, the return to Baltimore tonight is definitely a big deal. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of emotion for Adley Rutschman, and I'll be curious to see how the fans receive him, probably very positively.
Yeah, I was expecting a positive reaction from him, too. And it's interesting that you bring up the optics, too. That's something I said to my brother that I wondered, because Curtis Mead is also on the IL, too. So I do wonder. I don't think it is either. I'm with you, Tim. Obviously, it's just fun for radio, though, to speculate on those kind of things and have the conversations. Yeah. But it's definitely an interesting one, because I know if you're the front office for the Red Sox, putting your second big acquisition from the trade deadline on the IL towards the end of a, you know, playoff push definitely is not good optics, but we'll see here this weekend with his return. What have you been most excited about here down the stretch for the Boston Red Sox? Obviously now we're getting into kind of the witching hour, as they call it, in the NFL there, with the final 20 or so games left for this Boston Red Sox team until the postseason. What do you think they have to do, Tim, to be a playoff team here over the next, you know, I'd say 3 weeks?
Keep it right where they at, right where they are at. You saw this week they sort of, coming off the Yankee series, where they lost 3 out of 4, makes grabbing that top wild card a bit of a long shot, especially now. They've even lost a game on the Yankees, I believe. It's they're not locked into that second wild card spot, but it is very likely. So there's not a whole lot in their control right now other than getting ready and preparing for that first round, which at the moment looks like a very exciting best of three at Yankee Stadium, just like last year. So if that does come together, that would be probably a lot of fun to watch. Last year, the series was a lot of fun, a lot of drama, a lot of twists, didn't go the Red Sox way. But this Red Sox team is a lot better than that Red Sox team.
That is indeed the case, and maybe one more. I guess it doesn't sound like there's any setbacks with Wilson Contreras, but do you think he's going to be on track to get back when expected?
Yeah, that was the sound of it yesterday, hearing from Wilson Contreras for the first time since he did go on the IL Monday. He's resting, he's feeling better, and after if it's not 10 days, it'll probably be shortly thereafter. So I would guess next weekend at Fenway he'll be back.
Yeah, and I guess just quickly, too, while we got you, Tim, I know Buster only tweeted out about reseeding as we talk about the wild card. Do you have any thoughts or feelings, especially about how that's setting up? He pointed out, again, with the top of the bracket there being all AL East. I mean, those are your three best teams. What say you, though? Do you have a problem with it, or does it matter?
This year looks like an extreme example because you have the Red Sox, Yankees, Rays at the moment. There's time for it to change. All on the same side of the bracket. So those teams will be in a dogfight to get to the ALCS. Meanwhile, the frickin', you know, Joe Schmo teams, White Sox, Guardians, whoever comes out of the AL West, they're going to have the other side of the bracket. Somebody's getting an easy ride to the ALCS, probably just to get smashed by the AL East team. So it's an extreme example of it. I'm in favor of not changing systems based on one extreme example of this year, but this year does go to show my underlying point that I've felt strongly about for years, that there are too many teams in the playoffs. The MLB overexpanded the playoffs, and sometimes you get what you deserve with crappy wildcard teams.
All right, there you go. Tim Healy from the Boston Globe. Thanks for talking Boston Red Sox with us. We appreciate it. We'll look forward to talking again soon.
Thank you very much.
You got it. Again, Tim Healy from the Boston Globe. We'll come right back. Phone lines will be open for you again when we return on Middays with Mannix and Mannix.
96.3 is live and local weekdays.